ahead and Mr. Hitler, if you think we're on the run. We are the boys who will stop your...
Welcome to episode 21 of the Dad's Army podcast. Thanks ever so much for joining us. We've got a great show lined up for you this week. Slightly different podcast to usual. Last weekend, as I'm sure many of you will know, was Croft and Perry Day 2008. And that was held up at Brettingham Steam Museum, about 7 or 8 miles just north of Thetford. On the Saturday the 10th of May, the Dad's Army Appreciation Society organised a further couple of events, and the first of which was a locations tour, and Tony and I were invited, and we had a wonderful time touring round on an old red Routemaster bus all around Thetford, looking at places, locations, buildings that we used during the filming of the series. Now, the real jewel in the crown here, or the jewels in the crown, should I say, is that we were accompanied by Frank Williams, who was the vicar, and Harold Snowd, who directed a couple of Dad's Armies and was also responsible for finding many of the probably all of the external locations used in series 1 to 4. So it was great to hear the actors' memories of each particular site, and fortunately I had my tape recorder with me, so this podcast is going to focus on that locations tour. It will be quite an interesting experiment, so please let us know what you think, clearly because I was actually on the tour and could see the locations, and this being a podcast, clearly you can't actually see the sites when I'm talking about them. However, you can see a number of photographs, as I've published those on the blog. That's www.dadsarmypodcast.blogspot.com. If you go onto that webpage, you can take a look at a number of the photographs that Tony and I took. We had a wonderful time. In the evening on a Saturday, there was the members' meal, and we were joined by, so many stars. I'll try and recall some of the names who were there. I was on a table with David Croft and his wife Anne Croft. Just behind me was Jimmy Perry. There was Frank Williams, there was Pamela Cundell, Bill Pertwee, John Clegg, Michael Knowles and Harold Snowd were there as well. And there'll be another podcast, hopefully this time in a couple of weeks, where you can actually hear their speeches. And they made everyone laugh. There were some great speeches, some great memories as well. And I felt really honoured to have been invited. So thanks very much indeed officially to the Dad's Army Appreciation Society. Paul, Tony and Tony made us at the podcast feel extremely welcome. If this is the first time you've listened to the podcast, then please feel free to let us know what you think. My email address is james@dadsarmypodcast.com, and we're always very keen to hear from you. So without any further ado, I'll get straight into playing you the recordings made on the locations tour.
Right, I'm joined now by the official MC of the Dad's Army Appreciation Society, Eddie Atkins. Hello, Eddie.
Good morning.
Well, we're off on our tour to various locations, which I understand you've done before.
Oh, many times.
Right, yeah. Okay. So it's not to the point of becoming too boring for you yet.
It's always interesting to go around the places. The reason I come on it is because it's the people.
Sure.
Fabulous people. Sure. I have to bring my wife, but, you know, I married her. It's my own fault. And but there you go. But, okay. Always fabulous to go on because of the people we meet.
Sure.
You never get bored with it.
Many of the locations, obviously, no longer exist, so they're down to a reasonably short number now of locations, but how many of these are still very, very similar to the original state they were in? So the reason I'm jolting is because this bus is very bumpy and I'm feeling quite sick.
Yeah, well, the problem you've got is when you go onto the Stanta training ground where they filmed it, when we see it, which was 40 years ago, we stopped off at where they did Everybody's Trucking a couple of years ago. And when we get to the place, this is where everybody's trucking, and you say, no, it's not. It was open fields to one side, there was a big cutout and trees. Well, of course, in 40 years, all the trees have grown up, so everywhere is different. I think the main one is Menace from the Deep, where they're marching down the street. The only difference is that it's curtains on the window. That is an exact replica.
Super.
Polish club's still there. All these places are still there, but it's 40 years on.
Okay, well, thanks very much for spending the time talking to us.
Is that anyway. Is that all you want?
Okay, I'll welcome my co-presenter, Tony, back to the podcast. You haven't heard him for a good couple of weeks or so now. Hi, Tony.
Good morning.
So we're now standing on the bridge that the fire engine came over in Season 5's Brain vs. Brawn. Do you recognise this particular location?
No, I've taken lots of photos, and I'm going to compare it with the DVD when I get home.
Yeah, no, I have to admit, I'm the same. The road rings a bell when I look at it this way, but the actual bridge itself, I have to admit...
So just describing it then, it's a single-track road bridge with large white iron girders projecting the sides of it, and in a beautiful part of the countryside.
And of course, when I got home, the first thing I did was to put the DVD in and actually have a look to see the exact moment where that bridge was used in Brain vs. Braun.
They're stopping us! I'll deal with this.
Just making sure there's no home guards hiding.
Don't be ridiculous, there's a fire, can't you see it?
Hey, hello! Oh, what are them men doing?
Name it. Drive on, driver.
Frank Williams.
No wonder we enjoyed the location filming so much.
It was like this, wasn't it, the weather?
Yeah,
time.
This was real Croft weather, this. Yeah.
Croft weather, is that... that's not a myth, then? That actually happens?
Every yeah, time you filmed, no, really, it's not a myth. I hardly remember our losing any time at all, because... I mean, we did, obviously, there was the odd shower here and there, but... I don't really remember anything really sort of holding up filming.
Yeah.
I mean, I never remember having to stay for whole days back in the hotel because we couldn't get out or that sort of thing.
Incredible, really, though. 9 years of filming and very, very few days cancelled due to bad weather, inclement weather. It's very unusual.
Hardly anything, I would think.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been on other things. I did a film when I was over in Ireland. And they actually had to recontract me because I'd run out of my contract.
So,
because of the weather, that we were just sitting around waiting for it.
So I can imagine you were very disappointed about that.
Well, no, I don't know. I was very pleased. I was having a lovely time over there.
Yes, I'm sure.
But I, you know, coming to a place like this, it does make you realise how much we enjoyed the location filming.
Yeah.
And when you come to a beautiful place like this, you realise why, really.
Absolutely. Do you remember this particular location?
No, I don't, because I don't think I was in this particular episode.
I don't remember you being in Brain vs. Braun.
No, I don't think I was.
That's quite right. So, okay. Thanks, Frank.
We moved on then to the setting used in The Big Parade. This is towards the end of the episode, where they're actually parading outside what we're led to believe in the episode is a government office, but is actually a real-life railway station at Brandon.
Harold Snowd.
One of the big problems we have always doing public areas is, although, I mean, we've shot it a long time ago, we're talking about 1970 or something like that, it was still 25 years, getting on for 30 years, after the war. So when you actually had general members of the public turning up because they'd heard we were filming here, it was very difficult. They were dressed sort of 25, 30 years out of fashion. In other words, they looked too modern, in quotes. You know? So you had to sort of try and keep them behind some of the members of the public who had gone to the trouble of finding something old to put on. You know. But no, it all went very well indeed. No great problems.
How difficult was it to find this location or a suitable location for the big parade?
Not particularly, except that we needed... This sprung to mind immediately when I saw it, because with this forecourt area out here, you know, we weren't sort of stuck on a busy road, and there was a big, big area you could use for it. So from that point of view, it worked out very well. I think I actually went to British Rail and sought their advice, you know, and they suggested in this area this would be the one, because you can't know everything around an area, you know.
Sure.
We're in the car park of Brandon Station, used in The Big Parade. The station's all boarded up. It's not used as a station building anymore. And we've just discussed in the episode itself, it's not used as a station in the episode, is it? It's used as a town building.
I'm not sure what it's actually for, but it's where they have the parades, where Hodges and Mannerin argue about who's going to be first in the parade. But this is actually very recognisable, isn't it, from 30, 40 years ago?
Absolutely, yeah. It's almost unchanged.
Yeah, there are some locations that you don't recognise and you have to have things pointed out to you, but this is instantly recognisable here.
You're listening to the Dad's Army podcast with James and Tony.
I'm now with Paul again from the Dad's Army Appreciation Society at Eldon Hall. Battle of the Giants, is this famous for?
That's correct. This is the end sequence where they're trying to get their flag up the pole with the Eastgate Platoon. And as you can probably see when we get round the corner, that the set was very much the same as the real location, the top half of it. and they've done a fantastic job of recreating it. And you wouldn't, you know, unless you look closely, you wouldn't know the difference really. It hasn't changed a bit. There's a bit of moss on one side, north, I suppose it would be.
Yes.
And apart from that, no, it hasn't changed. Obviously, you can see the grounds here. We're on a private estate. There's no other people allowed here apart from those who really live here. So it's just sort of stayed in situ, really.
Right, well, thanks very much, Phil.
Okay.
Frank Williams.
Is writing a thesis on the water towers of England. Can you tell me where the one in the Battle of the Giants was? And I thought, I've no idea, but thanks to Tony and Paul's research, I was able to tell her. So there we are, and here it is. Gosh, that brings back some memories.
Really need to win it after all. They were having this contest, but Walker had done the flags. And he'd done them both the same, so that even though the Eastgate platoon, they put the Wilmington on Sea platoon flag out.
That's right, yeah. And there were a whole lot of hazards they had to get. Was that the one where they had to move feathers from one place to another?
Yes.
Yes, I remember Arthur Lowe saying, who thought up this ridiculous idea? Oh dear.
I think that's when they first discovered the Vickers drinking habit, wasn't it? When they were discussing this in the bar before. And you said the Vickers...
Oh yes, I'll have a double whiskey, I said, that's right. Yeah. And then he said, better make it a single. His reverence is a martyr to the whiskey.
I'm with you. Another Tony from the Dad's Army Appreciation Society. Tony, whereabouts are we now?
We're along the Euston Road, not far from Honington, and this was one of the scenes they used in Fallen Idol. We've got the electrical substation one end of the road where Jones's van crashed into the fence. And then the opposite side of the road, we've got a small lane where Mannering was chased by the dog with the grenade.
Oh, I remember. This was where the grenade took a disproportionate amount of time.
Yes, unfortunately.
To go off, yeah. I have to say, I've drive past here and I'd never, ever recognise the location. You have to be in a know for this.
Of course, and it was a location we hadn't found for a long time. And all of a sudden, one day, David Croft realised where it was.
Oh, so it was David. It was David.
I believe so. Yes.
It.
Wow. He said, "I know where it is," and it went from there.
And how do you go about verifying it? Just checking on the DVDs,
of course. That's all you can do, and obviously, you know, personal recollection.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, thanks very much, Tony.
It's okay. Cheers.
We then moved on to the road where the vicar was unceremoniously driven off the road when he was on his bike into a ditch by a Sergeant Wilson who was trying out his new motorbike in The Honourable Man.
It's off here, but again, that was filmed by the church at Sapperston where you're on the push bike.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've completely, until I watched the episode, I completely forgot being knocked off the push bike, but there you are.
You ended up in the ditch, if you remember.
Yes, I do, I do. Well, I mean, I don't remember, but I remember seeing it when they showed the episode recently.
I think you called him a silly man.
Yes, it was a silly man.
That was it, yes.
That was Bill, the one where Bill was...
No, that wasn't... No, it was John Lemes meant to be...
Oh, John Lemes was on there.
Yeah,
right.
I suspect it was a double.
It was. His name was Philip Basie, actually, and he's coming to Bressingham tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So you can have a word with him about
all right.
His driving then.
Yes, you can tell him off.
Yes.
That's what they did, ring the bells, and you've got the vicar and the verger and the warden running through the churchyard. Running through the churchyard.
I don't do running anymore.
And that was to warn England. The other episode that was filmed over there on the green was Knights of Madness. And that's where you've got the two St. Georges fighting each other.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah. And the other episode that was filmed is the Glebe Cottage, which is just along there on the left, is where they have the dog training school. Yeah, in, what was that episode?
Things That Go Bump in the Night.
Things That Go Bump in the Night, yeah. And then, so that's all filmed around here. So we'll have a little walk around.
We then moved on to some other locations where The Honourable Man was filmed once again, and also Knights of Madness.
And Mannering won't let the warden get up on the stage, and they honour him by giving him the key to the Wilmington-on-Sea, and he said, no, you should give it to this man, and Wilson steps out of the Rolls-Royce, dressed in his motorcycle gear. So that was filmed down on there, and then you've got the six bells just around here, where they did ring them bells, and that's the episode where they go in for a drink and they have the shandy's mitts of ginger beer. Yeah? And that's filmed out there.
Is that the one where they're in German uniform?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
At the back of it.
And that's where they're thirsty and they wanted a drink.
Right, yeah.
And you got a wonderful scene with Jack Haig, who's behind the bar, and he does a double take when they walk in the bar.
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful scene.
And then on to the Six Bells pub, where I had a rather embarrassing moment with Frank.
I never actually filmed here because... it was when they were dressed up as Germans, wasn't it?
Well, there was a few episodes here. There was that episode.
Right.
There was also when one called All Is Safely Gathered In, which was when they went to help Godfrey do the harvest of some kind.
Yeah.
And they all got drunk and they ended up in the pub. And that was this pub.
I thought they got drunk they got drunk in the farmhouse because that was where she gave them her homemade elderberry homemade wine.
That's right, and I think they moved on to the pub afterwards. I think so. I may be up.
No, I think they moved straight out of there. I think they moved straight out of there to the service which I was conducting, which ended in mayhem because they were all drunk.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, moving on then. There was also Wake Up Warmington, which I'm not sure whether you... Yes, you were in, because you were in every episode of the last series, weren't you?
Yeah.
And that was the first one.
What was that about?
Fifth Columnists, I seem to remember. They were trying to make Warmington residents aware of the realities of war, because they were taking things far too complacently
And
not serious. So they dressed up as Fifth Columnists and scared some people outside this pub.
Oh, right. And where was I?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I can't remember.
I don't have great memories of this pub, I have to say. Normally I would remember pubs, but this one I don't remember.
Oh, well. If it might.
Yes, it was for a couple of months.
But of course I've got memories of seeing the episode with them as Germans arriving here, and actually on this very spot where we're standing. I mean... I think dismounting from the thing and going into the pub to the consternation of the landlord.
That's right, there was Jack Haig.
Jack Haig, yes, that's right, yes.
Lovely little few moments he had.
Yes.
No, it was great, yes.
Okay, this is the last stop. This is Kilverstone, and the filming that took place here was from the Soldier's Farewell, where after going to the pictures... Quite appropriate on a double-decker bus. They go and see the film with Napoleon in, and then they have a toasted cheese supper, and Mannering dreams that he's Napoleon. So all the scenes of the outside, where they're dressed up as French and Wellington soldiers, is filmed just down here. So we'll take a wander down there.
Well, that's it for episode 21 of the podcast. Hope you enjoyed coming round with us on our tour of Dad's Army locations last week. Hope you found it interesting. Please let us know what you think. My email address is james@dadsarmypodcast.com. We'll be back in a fortnight or so with the second special event held on Saturday the 10th of May by the Appreciation Society, and that's the Members' Meal. Now that's an opportunity for Dad's Army Appreciation Society members to enter a lottery and win tickets to go and have dinner on Saturday evening with cast and crew. That was a fantastic event. Both Tony and I were there again. After dinner, some of the stars make some speeches, and I managed to record a lot of those speeches. I also managed to get a couple of interviews with some attendees, and the jewel in the crown, I got 5 minutes with David Croft. So be certain to make sure you download episode 22 of the Dad's Army podcast. That will go online in a couple of weeks' time. In the meantime, I hope you have a great couple of weeks, and I look forward to speaking to you very soon.